You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's time for us to get into our grow model. Remember, the grow model is purpose and meant for us not only to grow in the flesh as we eat our lunch hour, but it is also meant for us to grow in the spirit. So as we eat, we feed the flesh, but as you listen, you feed the spirit as well. And that's our grow model during the lunch hour. Joining me now is our guest, who is our guest for the rest of the week on this segment, who is Pastor Comfort Anopa Mugwendere, talking to us about the scriptures, how to study them, tools of the trade. We tend to take things for granted. The idea of studying is not a foregone conclusion. Let's face it. Sometimes the Bible can feel overwhelming. It's got prophecy, poetry, parables, and genealogies. It's easy to get lost in all of that if you don't know how to do it. But just like a builder needs tools, Bible students need the right gear, the right tools, the right equipment to engage in Bible study. And that's why today we're talking about study methods, resources, and how to avoid turning the Bible into a jigsaw puzzle of out-of-context verses. Joining us now, like I said, is Pastor Comfort Anopa Mugwendere, joining us on the line. And Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
And thank you so much for having me on the program.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Mfundisi, so what is the difference between reading the Bible devotionally and studying it critically? And why do we need both the devotional reading and the critical studying?
Thank you so much. When we are talking about devotional reading of the Bible, we mean that there is personal reflection whereby someone focuses on personal application, reflection, and spiritual growth.
Right.
It also entails that, you know, as one of my favorite authors says, the Bible is designed to be a guidebook to the soul. It is to be read and appreciated by the heart.
Right.
So it's something you are reading and you're appreciating from the heart. So you're talking about a heart-focused approach where the heart must be softened and subdued by the Spirit of God before the word make its appropriate impression.
Right.
This is what we call studying it on a devotional and personal level.
Right.
That is devotional. Now, what about critical? When someone is studying it or on the critical level,
right,
what are we talking about when you're talking about the critical level, when someone is studying at critical level? This is whereby someone is doing it as an intellectual endeavor, So it's more of like logical, looking at it intellectually. At times, you want to prove the point. So it's more of intellectual, Let me explain it deeper. What am I saying when I'm talking about intellectual endeavor? I'm saying here that there is also an in-depth analysis, critical study. There is an in-depth analysis. It involves thorough examination of context, history, and the literal structure. You are studying poetry as poetry. When you're looking at poetry, you are looking at the literal devices, because there is euphemism, there is metaphors. Then you unpack the metaphors. It's an in-depth application. So there is a mind focused. It aims to understand the Bible's meaning, context, and application. Then this is where I would call it a formal approach, whereas the other one is informal. So the other one focuses on just applying it. It's more of a personal application, whereby you are saying, what does the Bible say to me? That is a devotional. But when it comes to critical study, this is whereby you are examining it so that you do not take it out of what? Out of context. So why do we need both? We need both to provide what I call balance.
Okay.
You know, devotional reading provides spiritual nourishment, while critical study deepens understanding. So devotional reading provides your spiritual nourishment, but critical study now, it helps an in-depth to give us deep understanding. Number two, there's what I call comprehensive understanding. So combining both approaches foster a richer, more understanding of scripture. It's no longer just a personal conviction, but it is now rooted in the scriptures. And lastly, application and insight. So devotional reading applies biblical truths, while critical study provides insight into the Bible's meaning and context. You know, you come to a point to say, okay, I've been convicted personally that I should do A and B. But now if you combine it now with a critical study, now you say your conviction now, you will not be moved.
Okay. Let's talk about these other tools that get mentioned by yourselves, theologians. Tools like Bible commentaries, like Bible concordances, like the Greek and the Hebrew lexicon. How do these work? How do they benefit? Do they benefit or do they hinder anyone's study life?
Thank you so much. What I would simply say, number one, tools like lexicon, tools like the Hebrew or Greek language, knowing the language, all those things could help, but at the same time could become a barrier to someone's spirituality.
Okay.
How? As I have said earlier, that there must be a balance.
Mm.
Most of us, as we approach it, because we are theologians, because we have these tools, because we know Greek, because we know this, we will approach it going there, knowing that we have got it. But remember, the Bible is more than a literal piece of writing. When it's talking about Psalms, yes, Psalms is written in poetry, but there is more to poetry. There is more to poetic devices in it. So as we approach it, we need those, but we need them also, knowing that even though I have these tools, what I am approaching is more than just a piece. It is the Word of God. Mind you, what the Bible says now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, verse 10, for spiritual things are spiritually discerned.
Right.
So therefore, in as much as I have all these literal devices, I must put them at the altar of God and saying, God, please help me and direct me through these in order to have a deeper understanding
right,
of you.
Right, right. So let's talk about these devices that we carry, Mfundis. We have devices that in them have got applications, and we have applications of the Bible that have built-in devotionals. Does using a Bible app with built-in devotionals count as true Bible study? So when you give the answer, please, Mfundis, remember to give us an answer for or against. Yes, tell us why. If not, why not?
Okay. The answer is yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. Why yes and no? There is something we need to first to understand, that the purpose of devotional life, is the purpose of doing a devotional study, is for you and me to meet God. So our dependence must be solely on God, not on what other people have thought the Bible is saying. Remember, commentaries, this is someone who is sitting down and is also analyzing. And that person also, as he is a human, the person also who made a devotional guide is
right,
also a human, meaning to say he is also prone to error.
Mm.
My favorite author says, No man must put his judgment under someone else's judgment.
Right.
Everybody must search for themselves and make a decision.
Mm.
So when it comes to scripture and your personal study, you should not end where the commentary ends. So it becomes yes when you do not end where the commentary ends. You say, okay, the commentary is just the beginning of study. So I need to say, God, what exactly are you speaking to me? Because God, the word of God is living, and God is still speaking, and he wants also to speak to you as an individual. If he was able to speak with the commentator, he's also able to speak with you. So it becomes no when you take it as the end product, saying, if the commentator said this, so this is final. It becomes yes when you take the commentator as they say, this is the first step for understanding. You know, it should not be the concrete.
Okay.
Concrete. Say, you know what? As the commentator, as Andrew's Bible commentary say this, so that is the only truth. No. As St. Matthew commentary say this, so that is the whole truth. No. So you should approach those things with caution, saying, God, lead me to the truth. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, whom shall he teach knowledge and understanding? I'm talking about Isaiah 28 here. Let me read it. Isaiah 28, when you talk about how should we understand it, especially using all these things. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10 says, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand the doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the bread. For precept upon precept, line upon line, there a little and there a little. So as you do it now, as you do it, you read line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, you do ask God, lead me to the right precept, lead me to the right line, lead me to the next passage that is going to help me. So as you do it, let us not depend much on the devices. Let us not depend much on the resources. Let's depend much on the Spirit of God.
Very interesting. Very interesting step. So there are problems in studying anything, Mfundisi. And one of the things that you get taught and reminded at in your final year at varsity is to guard against your research being fueled by confirmation bias. Now, confirmation bias is when you take a conclusion that I believe in this, and you go and seek out evidence, and you get all sorts of evidence, but you only accept the evidence that confirms your bias. That's confirmation bias. Now, the question I want to ask you is, how do we, as students of the Bible, guard against confirmation bias when studying scripture?
You know, this is something I was just thinking about. You know, in John chapter 7, verse 45 to 48, let me read it to you here. It says here, then came the chief officers to the priest and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered and said, never man spoke like this man. And they answered them, then the Pharisees said, are you also deceived? Have you any rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But these people who knoweth not the law are cursed.
Right.
Nicodemus answers and says, you know what? It is not right for you know, Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees who had accepted the message. Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he does? They answered and said unto him, art thou also a Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Look at this is what we call bias. They already concluded. Because we have no prophet which came from Galilee, so therefore Jesus cannot be a prophet. So how do we guard ourselves from that premise which the Pharisees ended up being? Is to understand that God's word, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, It is like shining, a light shining in darkness. You know, chapter number 8 in the book of Psalms, it says, you know, chapter 4, verse 8 in the book of Psalms, it says, it is like a light shining until the day, until it becomes day. So you should understand that, you know, what I know is not final. And the word of God is progressive. It moves from one glory to another glory. So if we do that now, to say, okay, yes, there is something I have known about how God worked in the past. But God is not confined in the past. God can actually speak something which might be new to me, which the fathers might not have known, and God can reveal. So you need to leave room for something new. You know, you should not hold on to what is in the past and say, this is final. This is what the Pharisees did. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Let's approach Bible with a teachable spirit, saying God can actually speak something new to me.
Final question, for instance, I'll let you go. When does studying the Bible become an excuse for never really applying what we have learned?
Thank you so much. When does the study of the Bible become an excuse for not applying what we are learning? You know, the challenge we have and the challenge I have mostly is that what Timothy, in the book of Timothy, Paul says, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. You know, most of us, we have this intellectual knowledge of God. Where the Bible, where the desire of God is, John 17, verse 3, is that I may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. You know, failing to apply it. Most of us, we are there so that we might have, you know, we must have resources to prove our arguments.
Right.
And not applying them. Right. You know, because we want to prove a point. We want to win arguments. So sometimes it's not about proving a point. Sometimes it's all about, you know, as we approach the Bible in a different manner, not a manner of saying, I want to prove what I believe, but I want to know what God wants me to do. If we approach it in a way of saying, it's God telling me what to do, it's God speaking to my life. If he's going to challenge me, let God challenge me through his word, not me challenging God. So the challenge is, as we approach it, most of us, including myself, most of us, we go there because you've got this preconceived idea and want to prove to the world that I am right, not God is right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna leave it right there. Pudisa, thank you very much once again, Pastor Gwendere. We really appreciate your time and your insights with students again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a wonderful day, brother.
Thank you so much. God bless you, my leader.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.